For some of you, that may have been much. I can't help but think that how loud the angels are that encircle his throne.
Amen. That's right.
They have heavenly voices. I would imagine they're much greater than ours. I was just sitting there and I was like, God, if this could just go on forever, but my precious little heart can't handle it. But can you imagine the day to when time, emotion, your physical being plays no part in the worship in which you give? And it's just a continuous, ongoing. Some of you, it might be too much. You might want to ask if you can just test it out. What a day I think that's going to be. I pitched him right there at the end, just when it was done, and they opened the door to the throne room, and he stood. And all of heaven just went, shh. Man. You know how much authority someone carries when they stand and everybody, shh. Okay. Man. All right, we're going to get through this. And I promised myself we'll be gone by 3. And that way everybody can go and eat. Well, brunch is typically like 10 and 11, right? That's a brunch. So what we gonna call this, a linner? A lunch and dinner. You've got your Bibles. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, I want to start reading from verse 11. I'm going to try to read through the account, and then we're going to go back and talk about it. And if it doesn't happen that way, we'll talk about it as we read through it. Luke chapter 15. Starting with verse 11. Then he said, he being Jesus, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions and prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he had come to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I want to take this text this morning and look at this in a different perspective. And some think, some have preached this thing on the backslider, and some have preached it on this and that. And this morning, I want to look at this from the eyes of heaven, if you will. And I want us to put ourselves as the church into the form of this son. We so many times as church, we find ourselves within the graces of God and in the balance of Christendom, and we have a tendency to allow ourselves to be taken from serving God and blessing God and loving God and worshiping God and praising God to have received an ideology that's come across many pulpits in America and across the world, that we go to God to ask for things. And I believe that we have taken, you're going to have to excuse me, I'm sorry, I get a little worked up. We have a tendency to base our faith, or if you will, build our house on the foundation of what we have and do not have. We have a tendency to look at, I'm not so sure it is the ability of God to do certain things, but the desire of God to do certain things in our lives. Sometimes we've asked God for things and it not happen, and we have this thing of making an excuse for God that it didn't occur or take place, and we go, well, maybe it's not His will for our life. What happens to us as individual people and as the church body? This is, I truly believe this is one of the reasons why the church has become so weakened in their faith, weakened in their authorities, weakened in their overwhelming lack in our own lives and our family and our church. The church walks with a cane, if you will. The church is a little crippled at this point in time. I believe that we have been so mesmerized by some of the haphazardness of preaching that entertains, that we have gotten away from the honor and the respect of the gospel in which it was intended to be preached in pertaining to the kingdom itself. And it causes us to become crippled in our walk. One moment we are walking and flying high as a kite because we had just had a need, which is minor, met in our life, and we believe that God has blessed us with that met need. And we are super stoked and excited today because of it. And before we even have the opportunity to go home, we have found ourselves yet again in the midst of lack or in the midst of a want. And now we start the cycle all over again. And our primary focus is based on that need. Nothing else. That need. Every time we go to prayer, God, it's me again. Remember, I was telling you that I needed or that I wanted you to handle my spouse or my... I know they're sitting beside you. You don't want to get in trouble. But we constantly go back into this cycle of asking God for this, and God gives us this. And then we find ourselves in yet another cycle of asking God for this, and God gives us this. And then we find ourselves in yet another cycle, and we're asking for this, and God doesn't give, and we go, uh-oh. So then we revert back to some old-time preaching that you must have sin in your life. That's why God's not meeting your need. Or you have a lack of faith. That's why God's not healing you. And you didn't go to church enough. You didn't pay enough tithes to get. And we revert back to that ideology. And we find ourselves walking. Oh, we find ourselves walking bent. And we get to a point to where we don't even want to talk to God anymore. What's the purpose? Right. He hasn't answered the other 15 desires of my heart. Doesn't the Bible say that God gives us the desires? Yeah, you've heard some ideology on that scripture. You haven't heard the theology of that scripture. And a lot of the times the church is getting overwhelmed with this. And I believe it has crippled us so much so that the church, this is nothing more than scripture coming to a head. This is nothing more than prophecy being made a reality. Because the Bible says that there will be a great falling away. He's not talking about sinners leaving. He's talking about you and I. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the saints. There's going to be a time when their ears begin to itch and they start making teachers of their own so that they can tickle. And they begin to fall away from the faith. Oh, they still go to church. Some still pay their tithes. Some still serve in positions in the church, all while being bound. That's right. And God's looking for a year of return. Yes. God's desiring that this year be a year of return. Not one that returns things back to you that the enemy has stolen. It had nothing to do with that. It's about returning back to Him. Amen. See, there's some things that happen. If we sit and look at this prodigal son, this is the same thing that happens in the church. We come to the Father when we have everything that we possibly need. And we begin to focus on the things that we want. Somebody must have slipped it to the prodigal and said, dude, you got like millions in your daddy's chest. You got like millions. And he said, man, what I could do. So the focus slipped away from serving his father in the home and in the kingdom to wanting to rule his own, wanting to be the man. It's mine, after all. Give to me what is mine. Man, I'm so thankful that God's grace sometimes will step out of bounds. Yes. And say, no. He said, give to me what's mine. And the father said, okay, but I can't just give it to you. Scripture didn't say he just give it to him and he took off. Scripture said he give to them what was theirs. So that was to his older son too. And see, a lot of people have preached against the older son. Can I tell you that even the older son understood that the provision come from the provider, and he dare not walk out from underneath the provider because he would lose provision. Well, never mind.
That's right.
And the prodigal is wanting to fulfill some more things in his life. He allows what has been given to him. He allows what has been given to him. He allows what has been given to him to take priority in his life. I've done this so you wouldn't throw anything. Tomatoes or cabbage or... They used to throw some wild stuff, man. Can you imagine getting hit the head with a big head of cabbage? Sometimes... More often than not, God, bear me the grace to give the word. More often than not, we allow the very thing that we went to God to ask for to become the thing that now we live for. Every waking moment of your life. You lend your time and your efforts. Don't miss this. And your worship to a provision and not the provider. The prodigal had gotten everything he asked for. I wonder how many of us have gone to the Father and have asked him for things, and we get those very things that we've asked for, and we have this tendency that, and it didn't say that he left immediately. He said I'm not picking on you for thinking that you, oh, well, God healed me, so now I'm going to run out and go get drunk again. And I shouldn't probably bring up things like that. Y'all know where I'm going. But we have this tendency to accept the provision that we ask for, and for whatever the reason, that provision seems now as if it's not enough. Or we begin to look at it like this. Now that I have that provision, I know there's more out there that I would like to... Y'all going to preach with me? Y'all going to sit and look at me be mad all morning? There's more out there that I want. There's more out there that I desire. There's more out there that I need. So I'm going to take the provision in which I have, which was a godly blessing... And we're going to take that need and we're going to go out and try to fulfill other desires of the flesh. I'll throw that in there just for seasoning. And we go and we chase after such things. Not really understanding that what we're actually doing, this thing that we think that we're going out to live life now. Boy, how many of you couldn't wait till you was 18 to get out the house and go live what you consider life? How many of you were disappointed by the age of 19 that you went out of the house at the age of 18 to live out this thing called life? How many of you wish that you could just turn back time? Maybe that's what he meant this morning. No, he didn't. He ain't talking about renewing that time, baby. But that's what happens with us. Man, I used to think about it, and I've told my kids this. We've lived, I won't tell Debbie's age, but Debbie is the same age as I am. And I won't tell her age, but I'm 54 years old. And here I am. Why are y'all laughing? I'll give something away then. Okay. Baby, you look 20. You rock on. Y'all excuse us a minute. Every time I do at you, why are you turning red? She's blushing. I done got worked up too. It's a little hot. Look, don't y'all hate. Yeah, right now, y'all ought to be looking at each other going, I lost my track. You can't do this no more. You'll have to sit back there. Y'all gonna help me? Where was I at? Y'all think I was joking. Quit looking at me like that.
You said 54.
I gotta stand right here. She's wearing me out right now. She fluttering her eyes and stuff. She shifted in the seat. I used to tell my children. Well, I didn't used to. I still talk about it some too. But I said, man, we're 50 years old. See, there was a time in our life we were young too. I know it doesn't look like it, but I'm telling you, we did. And for the first half of my life, I looked that way as far as I could. Man, I couldn't wait to turn 18 because I was getting out of the house. Couldn't wait to join the Navy because I was lied to and told I could see the world and get a profession. Hey, how'd that work out for you? Not too good. I couldn't wait to be engaged. Couldn't wait to get married. Couldn't wait to have our first child. We just couldn't wait. Couldn't ever wait. It was just, man, we needed it now. We needed it now. We needed it now. And every time I got to that milestone, I wanted the next one. Because this one wasn't enough. Come on, y'all better follow me this morning. Pack your bags and get on the bus. We're going for a ride. And every time I looked for something new, I would gain it. And then I would look for something that was even yet more new. And then I would look for something else that would fulfill that need. And then I would want to get that desire. And then, and after a while, there was a day that I stood and I turned around and I went, man, I wish that would have slowed down. Man, I wish I wouldn't have went after that so hard. I wish I really knew that I didn't need that so much. I'm not saying it's not. Listen, it's good to have goals and dreams and ambition in your life. If you don't have those three in your life, I'm going to call you lazy. I got the meddling. Some of them just looked at me and went, really? Yeah, the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Have ambitions in your life. Rise and shine, sweetheart.
That's right.
Lift your head off of the pillow, brother.
Yeah.
Let's go to work. Yeah, it's things that we don't like to do that we have to endure in order to get the things that we wish for.
Yeah.
I'm a rhyme. I'm a poet. But I've told my kids that, man. And now here we are. I mean, I'm looking back over life and I'm going, we're on the backside of the slope. Even statistically speaking, we're on the back. The years that we have remaining statistically are shorter than the years we've already spent.
Yeah.
Young people, y'all better pay attention up in here.
That's right.
You young people. Thinking you got this thing. I'm trying to give you some wisdom, and it's free, not even in the sermon. This is free. But there's so much more in life that we haven't experienced. I believe that we still have those wishes and dreams and ambitions and goals. But you know what? I ain't going to go out there and kill myself to get it tomorrow.
Right.
I don't need to. I don't need to. But something changed in my life.
Yeah.
Something changed in my life. I found out that the relationship with my father was way more important than the things that he would give me. Because, okay, God's all powerful, right?
Yep.
If God speaks it, it is, right?
Yep.
I'm going to go ahead and break your little ideology that you have in your mind. Do you know that even the blessings of God are temporal?
Yes.
When you receive a blessing from God, you now see it. Okay, we got to go to Corinthians. We got to talk about it. For we focus on the things that are, and they are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal.
That's right.
Hence, even the blessings of God. Let me tell you what happens to us, just as it happened to the prodigal. He took the overflow in which he had. He went, and the Bible said that he was wasteful. That's what prodigal son is. It's not a wayward son. It's a wasteful. I wonder how many of us are. See, y'all went back to the earthly things again. I wonder how many of us are wasteful with the heavenly things.
Come on.
Oh, boy. You should have seen them. Someone was rolling their tents up so they could put it in a satchel. Oh, he ain't going to talk to me about putting my talents under a tent. Yeah, I am. I'm coming. You're wasteful. You thought those talents was you. You thought they were for you.
Yep.
Nothing you have is for you.
Amen.
Everything that you have is for someone else.
Amen.
Jesus is trying to build a kingdom. We constantly tearing it down.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick. We'll set it home. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. So that y'all don't go after him. After church. And be honest with me, because if you're not, he knows.
That's right.
He's got a place for liars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How many of you have a talent that you're not using in the church? Okay, we got three honest people. The rest of you can get in a bus that'll be parked out front.
Come on.
Listen, this is a year of return. Your talents and your gifting is not for your benefit.
That's right.
Now you can enjoy some overflow of it. But it's not for you. But because of what we have been taught. And this twisted type of thinking. that you think that the pastor should be the one to motivate you, to be your motivational speaker every morning when you wake up to brush your teeth. You have fallen and you can't get up. Y'all don't really want to know what all is supposed to take place with the pastor. The Bible says that this book, which we're called to preach and teach from, says that it's for rebuke.
That's right. Yep.
What, they already leaving? Reproof.
That's right.
Correction. Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. In here, you can do what you want to do. But don't come and tell. I know. That's why I don't. I don't knock on your door at home. I don't need to. That's the Holy Spirit's job.
Amen.
Y'all give me 2 hours, and I try to crush you down so that when you go back there, he builds you back up at the house. That's all. I can't help you. But this type of wandering that we do, receive a blessing, the blessing becomes our focus, our worship turns to our blessing, our blessing begins to run out, and then we're living a life with limitations. How many of you tired of living life with limitations?
Amen.
I mean, really. Now listen, I'm trying to keep y'all on an even balance. I'm trying to give you some earthly good too, with some heavenly good too. Y'all gonna have to figure out how to weigh that thing out. I can't be your scale all the time, but there's things in your life that you lack tangible. Because he already knows if he gives you the inheritance now, you're going to leave. And it's not so much he don't want you to leave him. He don't want you to leave him for your good. See, that's where God works differently than we do. We don't want people to leave because it benefits us. God don't want you to leave because it benefits you.
That's right.
If you leave, it don't benefit you. If you stay, it benefits you.
Right.
God wants this year to be a return. To when we begin to recognize in our life our lacks. And not getting so hung up in what's next for me. But yet, what can I do now for him? But Pastor, I got to live. I know you have to live. I know you have to work, and I know you have to eat. I know all of those things because I am one of you.
Right.
I get it, and I like to eat, Dennis. I can always count on him. I just like to eat. So I understand all of this. And I'm not telling you anything that I've not done. I'm speaking to you directly this morning through experiences of my own personal life of grabbing a blessing that has been given and finding out, well, wait a minute, with this blessing I can do and I can get and I can go and I can and I can and I. And then I find that my life is limited. Only God fulfills. See, this little vacant thing that we leave in our life only allows the enemy a foothold in our life. Where we won't fill the gaps. Oh, here's a good one for you. Some of the lack that you have or you experience in your life very well may be the Holy Spirit wooing you to come closer to him because he sees you skirting a line
That's good.
That might be detrimental.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, maybe if I just hold back just a minute. Then make, because how many of you know it's a lot easier to run to God when you need something?
That's right. Come on.
Y'all done it. We're here till 5. It's a lot easier to run to God when you're in need than it is to run to God when you're full.
That's right.
Don't sit and lie to yourself. Why do you think he says that it's easier for the camel to get through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom? Because he already knows that the rich man already feels like he needs nothing. Everything is full. Life is good. I don't need. Man, isn't it something how we can turn what was meant to be good for us and turn it to bad? God crept down in the middle of your night and filled a gap that you were incapable of filling. And we almost take it with an attitude that he's required. We are owed nothing. But we were given everything. His church. He wants a return. Yes. And see, you're just like me. We've all gone out and we've had to eat in hog pans. Anybody ever tried that? Yeah. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Look, don't nobody want to raise your hand. I'm not talking like literally eating out of a hog pan. These people crazy. They think you really talk about eating. I'm not talking about. We've all wallowed in our own lack. After we were blessed with what we needed. And what that will cause us to do sometimes is not want to go back. And I had a little stint in my ministry life after I was saved. And while I was preaching, I had a little stint in my life. I struggled to pray. I know. He without sin cast the first stone.
That's right.
But I've struggled. Because I'd done something, I was like, man, I am not so sure that I didn't just fall into a trap. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I heard him tell me no. Now I don't want to go back to him. I'm scared that he was going to say, I tried. How many of you just don't? I mean, as a child, when you went back and you done some knuckleheaded decision, and you went back, and your daddy was famous for this. I don't know about the mamas, but I know the daddies were famous for this. Boy, Bubba, got you, he said. But they've already approached you. They've already inquired of you for some wisdom in life. You give them the wisdom and you said, I'm not so sure. I don't know that I would. You might ought to think? Do you have to do it like that? Does it have to be so fast? And then they come back to you. In the time of need. Now you got to view this.
Yeah.
When they're broken. Man, I got to apologize. I'm sorry, Bubba. When they are broken, when they are sitting in a time of need in their life, at their most vulnerable spot in their life where they need somebody to open up their arms and see them from afar off, seeing them in their pain, seeing them in their worry, seeing them in their hurt, and be able to open up their arms and receive them back unto them without any of the ridicule, without any of the told you so, without any of the man I tried to warn you. If we would just be so quick to be like our Father in heaven and stand and see them from afar off and open up our arms and invite them back.
Amen. Amen.
But nah, we get self-righteous for a moment because see, we had already went through it once. We had already figured it out. And now we think because it took us 12 years to figure it out that it only should have took you 2 minutes because I told you 12 years in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And I don't want to lend any grace that was lent. Can I tell you? And we're closing. It's before 3. We see the prodigal just like you and I. See, how many of you have ever been approached? Well, let me back up a step. I think I took a quick step forward. Let me back up a minute. The Bible said that he went and he attached himself. Y'all remember that? To the citizen of that country. Y'all, are y'all paying attention? Man, if you want to run off and you want to do your thing for a minute, do yourself a big favor. Don't attach yourself with a citizen of that country. I got to break it down for you. If you want to go out and squander, and you want to go out and do your mess, and do your thing, don't become part of the club.
Yeah.
Be careful, little eyes. What you see?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
That's what happens to us. Because now we got it together. And we attach ourselves to the citizens of that country, to the citizens of the world. Then you become worldly. And when you become worldly, that's what causes you to fall to the things of the world. It's much easier to figure out that you messed up if you would just spend time with you. Because, listen, all right, I'm going to hurt y'all's feelings. I don't know how many of y'all in here are friends or consider yourself friends. I'm just telling you. Your friends are only your friends because you've not superseded them. Why do you think that if you die, man, if you can count 2 or 3 friends on your one hand when you die, you've done something. I mean, we talk about this all the time. We ain't got no friend. Well, friend, like friends. Man, it's hard. Got them for a minute, ain't got them for another minute. Got them for an hour, ain't got them for another hour. But see, when you attach yourself like that, as long as you don't supersede them, they'll stick with you. But the moment that they go or you go, it's over. That's why it's hard to find true friends. It's hard. They're friends for the moment. Just some of you need to relax, okay? Just chill for a minute. Y'all getting spun up and tight? I must be hitting home. Some of you experienced some of them friends or something in your life. You decided you was going to start going to church. Well, I ain't. Next thing you know, that friend gone. Well, I thought that was your friend. Well, he was. Well, you believe in healing? Yeah, I'm out. I'm not your friend. But the Bible says that he attached himself to the citizen of the other country. And he began to eat out of the hog trees. Matter of fact, he said he was happy to eat what the swine ate. You don't realize it when you're there eating it. Then you have that epiphany. Wait a minute. The servants at my father's house, not only do they have plenty to eat, but they have spare. They have an abundance. And I'm out here hoping that the swine I'm next to don't eat what I'm trying to get a hold to. I'm having to become one of them. Ooh. I'm having to become one of them just to survive. Now you become rude. Now you become selfish. Now you start sowing discord. I'll get away from that. I'll come back over here. But then you come to yourself. See, how many of you have ever been down to the point where the last thing you wanted to hear was either your mom or your dad or somebody else come to you and try to bring correction? Look, okay, I'm gonna turn all these liars into people that tell the truth. Watch it. How many of you have ever had the pastor come and tell you? Well, see what I mean? The pastor's looking after your soul. He wants you to be good. He wants you to be solid. He wants your foundation to be solid, because there's going to be things in this world and in your life that's going to cause everything around you to be shaken. Yeah. Y'all remember when Paul was talking to Timothy, and Timothy had taken over the Ephesus church? I mean, some people said they had like 12 to 15,000 members. Yeah. Now, Timothy was a young preacher. Paul had been there. Paul, look, okay, if y'all, let me help you. Paul started this deal. Paul was running this church. Paul was like the dude, right? And then he said, oh, hey, Timothy, you bored? Come here. And but I can just imagine Timothy going, I mean, Timothy going, I know what kind of word he used to bring. Huh? Here I am talking to you about Mary had a little lamb. And 12 to 15,000 members up in there. And two people, I forgot the crazy names, and two people started sowing all this stuff throughout the church. They started bringing this new gospel. See, they started spreading the word that, oh, the resurrection has already happened. You can just do whatever you want to do. Man, you fine. You just go ahead and live life and do it however. The resurrection, the second resurrection has already happened. And Paul caught wind up. Paul said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Because Timothy at this point, Timothy was probably, in my opinion, was probably thumb in mouth, over in a corner with 15,000 people running amok. And he's going, I don't know how to do none of this. Don't know how to do this. Hey, Paul. Well, he didn't have a phone. Hey, Paul. And I had to wait for a response from Paul. I mean, boy, could you imagine? I'd have shut the church down. It'd been like COVID all over again. I said, nope, we done with church. I'm waiting on Paul. I'll get right back with you. And Paul said, don't let your age get you down. Don't you worry about how old you are. You get it. You bring your foundation is strong, Timothy.
That's right.
You let these wayward people mess with your head. You stand. Whew, boy, I wish I had a Paul. I need a Paul. Wanted to get in your face. Let you know you can't eat with the swine but so long. But after going through all that, man, and your mom and your dad telling you, well, I told you and you shouldn't have, and you need to fix it. Oh, it's so much easier to fix on Monday than it is on Sunday during the game. You sports fanatics, y'all understand. Them armchair quarterbacks. If it was me, no, you shut up. If it was you, they wouldn't even have a team if it was you. You wouldn't have done nothing. You wouldn't have called no other. Regardless of how many people try to get you fixed and get you worked out, you're quick to throw up a wall. Some just flat rebellion. All the rebellious in the people in the house. Hey, hey. Some of us just flat rebellion. They're not going to do it. I don't care. You write a check and say, look, if you come and get this check and walk that way, it's yours. No, they're going to walk this way. That's just who they are. Some of the other ways is because of shame. You know you've done wrong. You know you went the opposite direction and you never should have, but you did. It's only when you come to yourself. I can't make you a better man. No matter what I do, I can't make you a better man. You have to make you a better man. Oh, come on. Y'all lighten up. Charlie? Miss Linda can't make you a better husband. She can coax you. She can coax you. But you have to make yourself. Come on, y'all better listen. Nobody makes you better. You have to decide to be better. You've got to come to yourself and realize, wait a minute, it is better for me to serve in God's house than it is for me to rule my own.
Yes.
And he came back and his daddy said, now we don't know how long he's been gone, right? How many of you know a few months can change a person? Right? I mean, y'all get these wild hairdos and stuff. We don't have these problems. See, I'm going to look sane. No, I might get some more wrinkles. Start might looking like a Sharpay later, but I mean, it'll be all right. But some time can change people. Your appearance. See, look, life can throw curveballs at you so many times. It'll cause you to react different ways, and it'll put so much stress and stuff on you that, man, you ain't got no other choice but to change.
That's right.
Appearance and everything. I've seen some people that are just flat stressed out, man.
Yep.
And you know they're stressed. I miss that. No, why y'all looking at her? I'm not talking about her. I just waved at her. I haven't seen her. She went to her family for Christmas. Y'all just relax a minute. Man, can't even get out of character for a second to wave at somebody. But anyway, he came and he seen him from afar off. And what I like about that, I'm not so sure that the afar off wasn't at the point that he left. God doesn't make you start over.
Right.
See, you're missing it. God, he left all up in the arms of the Father. He was Dad's American dream. Good boy. I'm not so certain that ain't where his dad saw him. Oh, but get this picture. Hang on. I'm almost done. Let me finish. I'm winding down. Second landing or third. I don't know what it is. It's still before three. Just relax. He sees him from afar off. I still see that he pictured him from the day that he left. I still see that because there was, he came, and this is why I'm telling, oh boy, I get excited about this one. Here he is, got all his stuff, and he's leaving, right? He goes away, Daddy never loses sight of him. Daddy never loses sight of him. He goes off, and when he's coming back, this is the picture of God and the church. God sees them as they left, but God is a God, he's a restorer. God restores you better than how he found you.
Yes, he does. Amen.
Watch this. He's coming back. Daddy sees him. The boy said, I've sinned again. Man, Dad didn't even give it no recognition. I love that part. It gives me some hope that I can mess up pretty bad and I can still go back to Daddy and say, God, I'm so sorry. And he goes, man, I love you. Oh, y'all think how you want to think. And he comes back. He didn't just accept him. He said, go get him the rope.
That's right.
Didn't see no dishes fall, did you? Seen him coming back. He said, go get him a robe. He just come from pig farm. Jacked up, messed up. Ugly. just ugly. Just right down. Just ugly. And he said, I love you too. It's like twinsy day. Actually, I'm better looking, so we just do it like this. They won't know the difference. He said, get him a rope. And the boy just come back from a pig farm. Stinking. Oh, come on. Follow me. I'm closing. Smelling like. Looking like. And Daddy said, come on. Don't worry about it. I'm going to give you a robe. This ain't just any robe. this dude's a king. Even in all his stuff, gives him a priestly garment. Now, y'all ain't following me yet. You ain't following me yet. See, when you've gone out and you've run amok and you've done something wrong, in everybody else's eyes. Y'all know how them self-righteous people at church get. This is why I love church. The ecclesia. He said, come on. Just like you are, just come on. He took a robe, put on him. He didn't tell him to go get cleaned up first. He said, I'm going to cover you. I'm going to cover you until you get cleaned up. This way, all your people that want to talk about you and keep you in the prodigal side of life, I'm going to do my job and I'm going to camouflage that.
Yes. Thank you.
So they see you're my son. They don't see... Now what we're going to do, I'm going to get you inside. What happens when we bring them in? I'm not giving you my ring. You got one? Let me. I'm giving you mine. I'm scared you might run. He said, I'm going to give you a ring. Ring is a symbol of authority. Y'all ain't following yet. They'll get it in a minute. They'll get it when they're eating chicken. Right when they go, they're going to remember it. Go, that's it. He said, I'm going to give you a ring. Not with ID wear. That's woof.
You're confused.
Not right church. Man, that's you talk about some scandal stuff there, buddy. I hope you're okay with it because you on there. He said, I'm going to give you a ring. I'm putting you back into a place of authority, not after you get cleaned up,
that's right,
but just because I brought you in.
Amen.
Amen. I'll put some sandals on your feet. I love this part because people don't look at that. I'm going to put sandals on your feet because you still got a road to walk. There's still a path to restoration. Come on. There's still a process to restoration because you're hard-headed. You won't just accept it when Jesus says, I've restored you. You think that you got to beat yourself in sackcloth and ashes. You think that you got to fast for 963 days and 12 hours and 16 minutes and 15 seconds. You think all of that's got to be, you got to have communion 15 times in a week. You've got to do all, you got to pay twice as much tithe. You got to, you're working yourself back into restoration. And God said, no, I'm going to restore you. I've got this. And I'll prepare you for what's ahead, but you just come on. Hey, get the fatted calf. He didn't say go out there and just get, he said get the fatted calf. Oh, I ain't got time. I ain't got time. It'll be 3 o'clock before you know it. I'm not stripping you of your garment, but I'm taking it from you. You can sit down. That's what happened to the church.
Yeah.
If the church will make this a year of return, Jesus is seeing a church from where he started it.
That's right. Come on.
Does that mean we're going to come in and man, we get the why? No, God's going to cover you with his grace while you fill the position of what he's called you in. And he's going to give you some authority. And he's going to make sure you wear the right. Oh, That's peace, ain't it? Sandals of peace, shod your feet up with it. Oh, stop it. He just does that. He says, here, I take it. For a peaceful journey, he'll give you peace. While you walk this thing out. But he's looking for a church. Make this the year of return. Will you do that? Will you not get hung up in all the garbage that we talked about this morning and how it will make you, and man, the enemy's just, he's waiting. If he can make you think differently, he's waiting. Don't dictate your turns in life by your feelings and your thoughts. Let the Bible give you the pathway. Oh, man. A light unto my path and a lamp under my feet. Let his word be. Y'all okay? I'm done with you. I'm going to drop you like a helicopter to run out of fuel. I'm so excited to watch you next year.
Yes.
Watch you grow. And watch you become. That's what excites me. It's just, I'm going to watch you become. I'm not going to judge that it's taken you longer to fight out your cocoon than somebody else. I get the joy in watching you become. I get the joy of watching you fight through. Because I just know it's strengthening you. And man, when you come out, man, the beauty of his glory on your life and the grace that's overwhelming you day by day, how could you ask for anything more?